Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co.
Well, hello, everyone. My name is Rikari Austin, and I'm one of the hosts of GCX 2022. That's right. We're already talking about next year. Now, we want you to join us at Rosen Shingle Creek in Orlando, Florida, as we come together for another unforgettable GCX. Tickets are going fast, and look, we want to see you. So visit gcxevent.com/tickets to book now.
Welcome in to episode 16 of Coffee and Shell. I'm No Sleeves, he's Kesso. We're going to talk about the week that was in Hockey Ultimate Team, but how we start every episode. Kesso, tell us about your life. What's going on?
Dude, we are both grown men without NFL teams in the playoffs now. Not only did our teams lose, they got destroyed. Oh, man.
I'm not going to lie. So I've been a Pats fan for like last like 22 years of my life and, you know, obviously blessed, but you can't, like, I'm never upset when a team plays the most perfect game that like, dude, that was the first perfect NFL game. I think it was straight drive or seven straight touchdowns, no punts, no interceptions, no fumbles, all the way to the kneel down. And, yeah, I mean, I didn't expect the Patriots to make the playoffs, in all honesty. Mac Jones looking really good for his first season, so I'm excited about the future. But that was an absolute molly-whopping, you know?
They were on, like, a downswing for a while, so I'm not I guess I'm surprised at how efficient Buffalo was. But, I didn't expect it to be, like, you know, a close game. But then, like, I watched the Steelers game last night. We're recording on Monday morning. There was like this sliver of hope
in the second quarter.
TJ Watt scored the touchdown, and I'm like, wow, okay. And then 2 minutes later, my wife goes to take a shower. She comes out. I'm like pissed. She's like, why are you mad? And I'm like, it's 21-7. I'm like, just like that. I was like, oh, all TJ Watt needs to do is score three more touchdowns and like maybe we have a chance.
Yeah, it was they didn't really have a shot, but Ben is off into the sunset. He'll probably be a Hall of Famer for his ballot more than likely, but
you would think so, right? Two Super Bowls, tons of yards, tons of accolades.
You'd have to think so, man. Bro, the snowstorm. How are you dealing with the snow?
So there's this bright light if you're watching on YouTube coming. It's just like the you know, the day hitting off the snow right here. So yeah. I have a lot of shoveling to do after we record this.
Dude, we got about 2 feet, I would say. It is. Yeah. So we took summer out in the morning. Skyla wakes up before me at about 7 because she works. And so she went to take summer out and I didn't know where she was. And she was taking forever. So I went and looked out our front. We have like a front bay window and Summer's just jumping around. She can't walk and she's never seen this. So it's up to her neck and she's just hopping along through this thing, having a blast. But yeah, we're not going anywhere for a couple days. My truck is fully buried. It's not going anywhere. So
well, that's crazy. 2 feet. Cause like we have 8 inches, I think like right around there. And that's a lot for us. Like obviously you're in Canada, you know, that's expected. I couldn't imagine 2 feet of snow. I think we had that once in my lifetime. I was in high school. School was shut down for 2 weeks because like the first week was because of the snow. The second week, the generator was broken in the school. So we couldn't go back. So that was like the only time I remember having that much snow.
It's so funny. So my entire school life from like grade kindergarten all the way to high school, I had 2 snow days. That's how well prepared Canada is.
Yeah.
It has to be an exceptional amount. I'm not going to lie. I think school is actually back in class. They did online learning for the last like 3 weeks because of COVID. And I don't see how it'd be open. I mean, maybe, but they would have. I mean, we probably have like 2000 snow plows and whatnot. But it would have been like my street's not getting done. We live in like a neighborhood and there's like it's not getting done. So,
yeah, I always see people like just because we interact with this community. Right. So we have friends in Canada.
Community or like your friend community.
Oh, like the NHL community. Oh. Right. So, okay. Like, I was thinking about that. And, like, you always see, like, those comments on, like, Twitter. It's like, oh, you know, United States, they shut down for, like, 3 inches of snow. Like, we're not prepared. Yeah. Like, we don't invest in our infrastructure and, like, have all these trucks out there and, like, the snow plows and stuff. So you guys are prepared for this.
Remember seeing a thing about Atlanta, like, a couple years ago where, like, it was, like, the first time it was, like, 49 states had snow. Like, it was something wild. And I remember seeing a thing about Atlanta getting snow and it shut down for like an inch or 2 inches because they literally don't have snowplow. They have like 3 snowplows for the entire city of Atlanta.
Yeah.
And it's just like there was nothing they could do. So it's pretty crazy in the differences there. Buffalo's the worst. Like it's crazy. For anyone that doesn't know, like I'm in Niagara right above Buffalo, obviously, or I guess slightly to the left of Buffalo, given the geography. And where Buffalo sits with the lake, the wind just hammers the city and it is the coldest, worst. Like they're lucky they had the game on Saturday in Buffalo because I don't know how they would have had one now, but. Definitely crazy weather, no doubt. But let's talk about Hockey Ultimate Team this week, my man. So pretty big week because we did get our second set of X Factors leaked again, although this one was understandable because there were some people out there that just, first of all, for anyone that did 2,000 shots, yourself included, I play this game for money and you couldn't pay me enough to sit there and do the 2,300 shots, bro. Like,
so that's... I will say it took a couple hours. It took 2 to 3 hours. Rookie squad battles. It kind of worked out. My wife wanted to play The Sims, so like on the computer. So like I couldn't stream at that time. Whatever. She wanted to play The Sims. So we were just sitting there. I was listening to music with her. I had a glass of wine. I tried to make it as enjoyable as possible, and I was glad I did because I liked the card I got.
No, yeah, so obviously this is one of the better events. It looks like the style icons year over year, they're just giving out a free one each time, which I think is good. Every once in a while, giving out a free card is awesome. I don't think that they should do it every event. You'd end up with just stacked stupid teams. So I think that this was a great way to do it. Let's talk about, should we rank them first?
I would like to rank them, yeah. And I'm assuming that you have a ranking because you do the daily content on YouTube.
Have a ranking. Okay. Yeah. All right. Let's. Who is your last?
Who is my last? I would say Bissonnette, maybe, okay. But he also could be high up. He also could be high up. He's a fun one.
He is definitely a fun one. Again, my content, guys, for anyone that watches and whatnot, my content is mostly geared towards trying to make people, the average player, better at the game. So it's always, you know, I try to, when I'm trying to recommend cards, it's about like trying to keep you competitive. Bissonnette, well, he does look fun. And with that gold truculence on a forward, like you get into the offensive zone, you just hammer people. That being said, 93 speed for a winger is just going to be replaced pretty easily. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's already so many X factors and things like that. So he's very good right now. And I guess when we talk about these rankings, I personally don't want to say any of them are bad. They're not bad cards. It's just I think that when you're ranking them, you've got to think about longevity, the position they play, all of that. So my number 8 was Bissonnette. And we went one for one there. Okay. What about number 7? Who's after that?
It is a interchangeable, I think, between Carey Price and Erik Karlsson.
Let's go. That's exactly the same. All right. Okay, 7 and 6.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Carey Price. We'll talk about that real quick. I think that if you have his X factor, you could leave it at like 86 or 87.
Whenever he gets gold post to post, right?
He gets that. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah. He has that right away. Yeah.
I think wrong, so. Yeah. Right? He gets it pretty early. It's like the cheap ones where it's like 2,500 coins or whatever, right? Yeah. I've been using that card. The Master Icon one looks unbelievable. Or the Master Style, the MSP looks amazing. Just no need. If you're going to get a free card, don't make it a forward. And if you don't need forwards, make it a defenseman and then goaltender. Like if you're a hot red, sure. And you don't have a goaltender, maybe you went in on Koskinen, and I think it's time to move on from him. He is, big goaltenders are not the play. We've been made aware. They could be.
Okay.
I think you tried Koskinen, and he was not it.
It's gold post to post, and then big goaltenders, right?
Yes, I agree. Yeah. Yes, yeah. If you're in that order, yeah. Okay, and then Karlsson just plays a position. Right defense is just loaded with guys that are huge. And if you got Team of the Year Fox, I really would not get Karlsson too because smaller. He's 6 foot, but defensemen that aren't big just, or players that aren't big, just don't bump anyone off the puck. They just don't this year. I don't know if, like, Fox's team of the year card does not bump anyone off the puck for me. You've got a stick check, which isn't bad, but, and he's fast. Mm-hmm. He's one of my favorite skaters to use, but it's clear that it is not like NHL 21.
Yeah, I agree. Now, I know my number five is going to be a lot different from yours.
Okay, go ahead.
So right there, I have Barzal.
Wow. Okay. That is significantly different.
I know.
Okay.
I know. I have some reasoning behind that. So hear me out. As we get into the next ones, right? I think for your top four, who'd you have at number five, first off?
I had Whitney.
Okay. That's fair. Mm-hmm. I could see that. So as we move along these rankings, I was favoring left-handed defensemen a little bit more for most people because there just weren't a lot compared to the right-handed defensemen.
I think anytime
you can lock in like a free 94 overall like defenseman with, you know, where there's not a lot out there, you take it, right?
I can agree with that.
Okay, yeah. And then moving on, like my top four, very close, but it's like Whitney, Chychrun, Sagan, if you need a forward. I like him more than Barzal. And then my number one was, you know who the number one is. You're wearing that.
Brent Burns.
So
all right,
let's hear your top four.
Yeah, so my top four was Chychrun at four. I agree. Okay. I think Chychrun and Whitney are interchangeable. And I do agree. I think that if you listen to my – I feel like if you're watching my content, I feel like you're definitely not a casual player, you know, for the most part. So I would assume a lot of people got Hedman, which makes him a little bit – I think that after your first pairing – you've been talking about this on stream a lot and on Twitter. Mm-hmm. They eat so many minutes, especially if you're big on time on attack. They just don't get off the ice and they don't get tired because they're not going end to end. So again, if you are someone who struggles with that and you know your scoring is, your games are basically rush to rush, you're probably going to need three pairings. But if you are someone who hits, you know, 10 minutes of time on attack in a game, you simply don't need a third pairing. Like they just don't move because once you're in the offensive zone, you're cycling around, your defensemen don't move. And they're just able to stay on the ice more. So I think that getting Hedman, that would make Whitney or Chychrun just second. And you're getting, that was my reasoning. If you're getting a second defenseman, maybe a little bit less important than one of the other ones. So I had Burns at three. Again, thinking about my viewer base, a lot of people that if you're not in Division III or above, you're going to have a hard time using Burns in the next little while, I think, because If you are someone who has to try and defend by skating shoulder to shoulder, that isn't Burns. However, he has the best synergy combos and zone ability combo. He's Hedman. He is literally just Hedman on the opposite side.
He's the same exact card as Hedman, 1 inch shorter. It's crazy. Yeah.
The advantage to Hedman is that he's going to keep going up. It's team of the year. His team of the year is just going to keep going up. That's why I don't think it's really close when you're comparing those two. But right now, definitely, if you are someone who is very, very good at the game, your division one, two and three, maybe, you know, you get at least 9 wins in champs, you're probably going to do really well with Brent Burns. I think just because of that reach defending in the blue line with those guys, like it's so funny. Defensemen, I think, aren't nearly as important as forwards in the game. I think that it's just how it goes. Like you've got to score goals to win, obviously. And I think that getting a top line forward is more important than getting a top line defenseman. But that being said, when you're playing Hedman and now Burns, and you see them as you're going through the neutral zone and it's like one on one, it's like, God, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like, I can't go this way. So you can't go this way.
You know, 40 minutes of the game. They both have 99 endurance with Workhorse. It's kind of crazy.
So he is definitely up there. But I know a lot of people that will struggle with him. Again, if you are someone who has a hard time controlling time on attack and, you know, you get beat by trying to go shoulder to shoulder, he's really not going to be good for you because he has 89 speed. I think acceleration is more important than speed on defensemen. But then I had Sagan at number two, and I think if you need a centerman, Sagan's probably number one for you. But I had Barzal one. 96 speed is 96 speed. Like if you were to not improve his card, like you don't, you could have him on your team even during team of the season.
I think at worst he'd be a third or fourth liner.
Exactly.
That time,
which in my opinion is like an end game type card. Mm-hmm. Now there is a lot of righties, so you're going to have a lot of options, but, he's very, very good. His X factor, however, Barzal's X factor, one of the best ones in the game because he becomes so good much earlier than like McKinnon, He's almost like McDavid in a sense, like his, because he gets a skating center, like he's just so good. Like it's wild, and you can get his body checking up quite high, and you can run him at center too. But I think that Barzal is the one that you should take for a free card. But if you do need a defenseman, I agree. There's going to be some, you know, discrepancy there. I think that if you are someone who struggles controlling time on attack, you should probably go Whitney or Chychrun. And then, but if not, Burns is definitely the play. Burns and Hedman in GWC, I think you're going to see a lot. Maybe.
Yeah. I think no matter what, you'll see Hedman on the first pairing. Just
no matter what, on almost every team. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Burns, it'll depend on what right-handed defensemen come out. I think he'll be on my third pairing, you know, maybe, maybe second, depending on what happens. But that pairing, like,
it's brutal.
Do you think, now I totally get the reasoning behind why whenever you're controlling the puck, the defensemen don't really tire, right? They're not moving at all. Do you think the fatigue or energy needs tuned at all just to adjust for that? Or do you think that's reasonable? It is 99 endurance.
I think that, to be honest, man, like if you look at time on attack for like, you know, a top pairing, like a real good top pairing in the league, it's like 27 minutes.
Yeah, so that's like,
I don't know. We were playing a game that's 60 minutes smashed into 20. Mm-hmm. So it's very difficult. I think that, I don't know. I think one rush should really knock out a lot of, it depends though. But if you're, I mean, if you're not moving and you're just in the offensive zone, I don't see why. Like
I've had games where they've been on the ice for like 52 minutes. If I have like a couple born leader goals.
I
feel bad for people because it's like, how do you get across the blue line? Whenever they both have shutdown.
That gold shutdown is, I think that gold post to post, gold shutdown slowly becoming, I think, are the most impactful synergies in the game, or X factor abilities in the game.
Like,
they should tone him down?
Yeah. Not that they should tone him down. Do you think they should do a point adjustment? Do you think they should cost more? Okay. Because I agree with you. And if so, what should those cost?
I don't think you should change the goaltender one. I think it's 4 for goal post to post, because I think that if you make goal post to post too expensive, everyone's just going to give up on that and go with a more expensive. You know what I mean? Like being able to make, they finally hit a spot where they can make smaller goaltenders viable.
That's true. Yeah.
Which they haven't been able to do for 20 years of the game. So I think that's really important to remember. Shutdown needs to be adjusted. What is it? 2?
It's 2 for gold.
Yeah.
It's literally like bare minimum.
It is brutal how, because it auto locks on. Now they all auto lock on. Like when you hit R1, it will go to where the puck is actually. And if they have high stick checking, it makes it quicker and more accurate. But shutdown makes it where it's like comical, where like you just will not miss. So,
and you get the hitting bonus too on the rush. So it's like you stick them up, you get like always with the poke check activated, you get a boost, like even in your own defensive zone behind the net. But like with shutdown, it's like you get a boost to everything.
It's
on the rush. And most of the game is on the rush in a lot of these games, right? And it's only 2 points. I was thinking something like 6 points.
Six is probably for shutdown, yeah. I think that they should bring down some of them. I think wheels at 10 is fine, because if you had everyone that had wheels, it'd be a little frustrating. However, I think a lot of people don't understand that, like, if you self-sauce a lot, I made a video on this about the L2s, or I made a TikTok about it. You know, basically, when you self-sauce, you're not getting a boost. You're taking away ever so slightly that debuff that you get. So for anyone that doesn't know, Ben explained to us, I don't know if we explained to publicly, it might have been in that video I had with him, but when you're carrying the puck, you lose 3 speed. So if you have 99, you have 96.
3%, sorry. Right?
But so at 99.
Like, at 99, it's 3. But like some of the lower ones, it might be like 2.5. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you have gold wheels, though, you just don't lose that 3%. But when you're self-saucing, that's what makes it seem like you're going faster. It's not so much you're going faster. You're just not being impacted by the self-sauce for that brief second where, you know, and then you combine that with the nerf that they put in NHL 20 when the defenseman turned around, or was that last year?
I think it was last year.
So if you get someone who turns around and then you self-sauce, it seems like you're getting this huge burst, but that's not the case. You're just skating without the puck. And if you think about it, I know a lot of people complain about this where it looks dumb and it looks like you're cheesing the game. Think about it in the real thing. I remember back in, I was playing, when I'm playing all my old NHL games, I want to say in like the middle 2000s, if you hustled, they poked the puck ahead and you would lose control of it. You know what I mean? And that's kind of what you're doing. So like, I used to think that that was really stupid, especially in NHL 20 when squad battles first came out. And I think it was Verda early on who like back when he played, and you could do it. And it was obnoxious. It did seem like a speed burst.
There was that. And then there was the push puck they had too. Mm-hmm. In like NHL 10, I think it was.
Yeah.
Where you would push it ahead with like L2 and you would get a little speed burst, right? You would lose control of the puck, kind of like you do with Self Sauce, but you would get that speed burst too.
Yeah, I've changed my tone on it. Like, I think that it's a completely fine thing to do in the game. You've got to be able to prepare for it. They've nerfed it to the point where you're not getting a... Because what was happening is it was like you weren't losing the animation when you... I don't know what it was. It was an issue where like in NHL 20, when squad battles first came out, where like it was a literally cheese to the game because you actually got a boost every time. It was like your acceleration.
It would freeze the AI too.
That was it. It froze the AI. That was it. It would freeze the AI. So they would stop skating because you would lose the puck essentially. They don't have, that doesn't happen anymore, but you do lose that debuff for that split second that you're losing the pucks or you're knocking the puck forward. So,
well, one of the things too, whenever people do that, you can like level people, right? Because you're off balance whenever you do the push puck, like with the self sauce. If you just time your hit well, like they're not going to get by you.
Yep, absolutely. I agree. So, Wheels, if you are someone that does that considerably, Wheels isn't nearly as important, in my opinion. And if you have gold Wheels on, stop self saucing. I think a lot of people don't realize that. I've seen a lot of Duchesnes fly down the boards. Like you're just losing, you're giving up the potential to not have the puck. That's what Wheels does. So just want everyone to remember that. And silver Wheels is about 1.5% of the debuff removed. So I still wouldn't do it, I don't think, if I had silver Wheels on a lot of my players, but you could. But yeah, what are some of the, I think that 1T is 10 is an awful lot for 1T.
It is, and I find myself using the silver one on my defenseman, right? I think the shooting ones just cost too much. Like, 1T is one of them, but, like, make it snappy, snipe. Like, those gold abilities are 10 points. Nobody uses them. And I don't even think they're that useful.
I don't even know, like, that make it, or the make it snappy is hard because you can't aim, like, you... Essentially, make it snappy is a snapshot, not a wrist shot. So if you think about when you're playing, you're setting your wrist shot before you shoot almost every time. That won't activate it. So you've got to just flick up. And I don't know how I don't know if I've ever seen it scored on me.
I don't know if I've ever really seen, besides like people that just start the game, I've never seen any like good player use it, right? Or even like D5 and above. And it's also an ability that's like the opposite of the meta, right? Just taking a snapshot.
Yeah.
And it costs 10 points. I think that one should be like 6 points for the gold ability.
One that I'm kind of disappointed is Unstoppable Force. I don't think it does anything.
I stopped using it.
I thought that when McDavid Team of the Year got it, and I did that, about a week of where I literally put 20 points into McDavid just to try it out, and he was getting flattened. Like, so Unstoppable Force is supposed to give you a chance to, or basically allow you to not be bumped off the puck. It helps you when you're off balance. So like when you're skating around holding onto the puck and people are just hammering up on the right stick to try and bump you off, you don't get bumped off. I don't see any difference with it. So that one's been almost completely useless to me. I don't think it's very good at all. I think that one of the more underrated ones that definitely I hope are on more cards, top end ones, is Born Leader. If on your first two lines. Like, I have it on Zetterberg, and it's very a huge advantage.
It is. I have it on Zetterberg and Eichel. The X-Factor Eichel. And, like, you notice it. As soon as they score, you get, like, and even it's just a silver ability, right? So you still get a decent boost from that. You can put your first line back out there, first pairing defenseman. And it only costs 1 point for the silver one.
Yep, I agree.
Do you think that should be increased at all, the cost?
I think it should just be on more cards.
Okay.
I think if you're a captain, you should have it.
If you're a captain of a team, right?
So I think that would make a lot of sense. Or even assistant captains, like you're just. Yeah. I think that that should be kind of like a not a prerequisite, but every player that comes out now should definitely have it. Let's talk about speaking of abilities. You're on one, and we have.
I am on one, and we have
drastically different takes on this. So go ahead and explain to people. You made a video about it. So go ahead.
I made a video about it on my YouTube channel, right? How to score D2Ds, and. Whenever I made the video, we didn't know that Brent Burns was out. So prior to this, I was using Team of the Year Hedman. He has 1T as a superstar ability, and he has Seeing Eye. Both of these abilities, having them activated for the D to Ds, acts as like a super buff, in my opinion.
Oh, it does, yeah.
And then I reached out to Ben Ross, too, last week, because there were still some things about X-Factors that I wasn't 100% sure on, and that was like stacking abilities. So what he said to me, and I might be paraphrasing this a little bit, was that whenever you do an action in the game that triggers an X-Factor ability, right, yeah. like an ability. So for Seeing Eye, it increases your accuracy whenever a goalie is screened, but it also decreases the goalie's reaction time, right? So if you pair that with 1T, which is the increased power and increased accuracy, you have three things going on, right? You have the increased power, you have the increased accuracy, and then you have the goalie's delayed reaction time. The increased accuracy, it's only going to take the increased accuracy from the higher of both 1T and Seeing Eye. So whichever one increases your accuracy more, you'll get that bonus. So you still get three bonuses on that. So I was playing the last week and I had that activated on Hedman. And I was scoring, I say, once every game to every two games. Like I checked my stats afterwards. His goals increased by a lot. And then whenever I made the video, I said, be on the lookout for more right-handed shots that come out with this, with both 1T and Seeing Eye as superstar abilities. So then the Burns came out, right? And I tried it on him. And if people watch the video, I mentioned that D to Ds don't work as much on a goalie's glove side. We've seen that throughout the year. It's just really like they just glove it every time. They work on the blocker more because if they don't go in cleanly, it might bounce off the blocker. So I've been trying it out with Burns. It's not as effective because he's a right-handed shot shooting to the glove side. I think I played like seven champs games with him and I had like three goals in those seven games, right? So you have a different view on it because you watched a couple of my games. I don't think you saw any of them go in. I think if you watched before or after, you would have seen a few of them because I was scoring D to Ds like all weekend. But one of the biggest benefits, I think, of it is just like the added thing that somebody has to defend. Whenever I was like taking a lot of these D to Ds, I noticed people would switch to tight point because it's like, oh, this is all this guy's going to do. Right. So I'm still getting that bonus of using those abilities, but like even without taking the D to Ds, because the middle just opens up completely once people key in on that. Not only that, I feel like I'm going on like this huge rant about D to Ds. Your defenseman out there, your top pairing defenseman, if you have like Burns and Hedman, as we've said, they're out there for 40 minutes of the game. So like I might have a lot of points allocated to them, but like whether my first, second, third line's out there, I'm still having this option of these D to Ds from the blue line. So I think it's something that, although you disagree, I think it's something that every player should try out because it's opened up my game a lot. Even if it's not scoring from the point, it's opening up so much more offensively.
Yeah, I definitely think that like it makes scoring from the point more prominent. Like prior to seeing this, I might have scored 10 D to D one timer goals this year. And I'll be very clear, last year I scored it a lot. Like that was like I recommended like just firing from the point. So now this year, so I tried Hedman's with 1T and Seeing Eye on. One, he can't hit the net very the only way to score D to D one timers right now, even with it on, is low blocker. Like almost along the ice. So I think one thing that's kind of making it difficult that I struggled with a little bit until I got the hang of it was aiming your shot before you pass, like because passing is so different now and so much more difficult. I had a couple times where I sent it out of the zone, but before that or after that, like, and I got the hang of it again, setting it up, I found myself just forcing that. Okay. And maybe that was issue. And I also like playing my defense on their strong side. So lefties on the left, righties on the right. So my first pairing, I just was the only one that I switched so that they were opposite. And I scored once out of like, and I must have taken like 25, 30 shots. And I'm talking only low blocker. I just found that like he either didn't hit the net because he's only got like 84 slap shot accuracy. It's not high, that Hedman, I believe.
I think it's a little bit higher than that, but I also might have synergies activated too.
Maybe. Okay. Maybe I'm misremembering, but yeah, like it's just different because like, I don't know, man. I found that every time I was trying it, like, again, people were just kind of playing at the point too much. And I don't know. I found myself relying on it too much as opposed to just trying to cycle the puck a little bit. But I think it does add something to it. It is an opportunity. I think people might just go and think that, like, oh, this is going to go in all the time.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it personally. Like, I've like I said, I haven't scored. I maybe have like an under 10%, maybe under 5% shooting with Hedman with 1T and seeing eye activated. But I'm going to keep trying it because like, it's fun. It's something different to try. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'd be curious. So guys in the comment section, let us know if that's been working out for you. Because I've had people on my Twitch chat being like, yeah, I can't get it to work either. So
I think it's almost like an echo chamber sometimes, right? Too, because you're not getting it to work. But then like whenever I post it on my YouTube channel or in like people reaching out in my Discord, people are like, holy crap, like this works a ton, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's one of those things too where it works a little bit better off the rush. And I'm not sure when you were taking those shots, if it was like after you established possession in the offensive zone.
Yeah, always in the possession zone.
So always in the possession, right? So if you like enter with a winger and then you just go back to the defenseman, pass it across for a D2D, whenever you're entering the zone off the rush, the defense is already like skating to the net and they're causing a little bit more traffic in front of the net.
Makes sense. Yeah.
So whenever you take those off the rush, they tend to go in more than off of established possession.
Well, that'll be interesting. That's something that maybe I'm not trying that out as much, but I'll have to wait and see. We did get a new card, one card that we wanted to talk about. We mentioned it before we started recording. A very interesting one. I'd mentioned in a couple of videos of mine recently that there was no, like, there is a couple gold abilities that, like, I don't want to say they forgot about, but I think they definitely forgot about until we mentioned them, because now we're seeing like a ton of them. One was gold quick draw. There was only two. It was Nieuwendyk and Riley for like the first 3 months of the game. I'm almost positive. And they came out with the 92 Forsberg, and man, that might be one of the top four centermen in the game right now, which is crazy because it's a non-master.
Right?
Yeah.
If you need to win a faceoff, put that card out there, right?
Exactly. Like, even if you have a stacked team, let's say you have my team, I still think that he might be among the top four faceoff men in the league. We've talked about this a lot, and throughout the year, that faceoff stat doesn't mean as much as we thought it did. It's not like it's not important, but it's not as important. Sorry, but quick draw, the gold one, basically allows you to just tie up in the zone, and even if they do the counter, it's like you're gonna almost always win it anyways, which is a huge advantage. And that Forsberg is high faceoffs. He's a good skater, and it's funny because it makes that card better than his actual icon. which sucks because his card art is so cool, but I said that in my video that wow, this might be good, and I don't know if that influenced it at all, but it's going for like $300,000 now, so people are catching on
it's a great card. And they also did, like, if you want like the cheaper option, maybe you want that gold
Sebastian Aho.
I was about to say the 90 Bergeron I used this weekend.
Okay, the Superstar Origins Sebastian Aho has it as well, and that might be another alternative, but you went Bergeron?
I went Bergeron. He's a 90. He has 96 faceoffs, I think, which I don't, you know, once you have the gold quick draw, it's not that much of a difference.
It doesn't, yeah.
But I put him on my third line, and then I also put him on my first power play in a PK too. Like those situations where I'm like, oh, I want to win the faceoff. And like, I've had games in like the champs run this weekend where it's like 10 seconds left. I have to win the faceoff. I just put him out there, you know?
Yeah.
So if you don't want to put the $300,000 into Forsberg, do the Aho or do the Bergeron.
Yeah, those are both good options. Let's talk about some master icons. So it looks like they changed the format where now they're releasing ones and the icons now go up. They unlock tiers based on their latest cards. So we just got a Lindros, which I thought could be interesting, but he's still way too, like,
he's so slow.
It's like the Pronger of center. Like, you know what I mean? There's no point.
And is he one of the cards with like higher speed than Excel to where it's like a difference too? Doesn't he have like four higher speed than acceleration?
I know Messier is like that.
Messier is one of them.
Yeah. And that's tough because I don't want to say acceleration is more important than speed, because I think higher speed can do is score you goals, because eventually if you get up to if you have the same acceleration and one is higher speed and you're going side by side, the guy, you could go down the wing and end up on a breakaway, whereas acceleration helps you get up to that higher speed faster. So if you had higher acceleration than speed, that person would catch up to you. But like, I don't know, man, like a low acceleration is really tough, because that you're not, if it takes you a while and you're not a fast skater to even get up to that, like, you're never getting any time and space.
No, you are not. And I've always favored acceleration more. I remember last year, like the first few months, whenever everybody was using like distributor and like activating those team synergies was tougher. I just skipped distributor, right? And I just went like Spark and whatever else there was. This year, like, I think I have like 15 players with Spark on them or like workhorse, because I'm like, I just think that's more important. It's, and it also depends on how you play, right? Like, I'm more of like an east-west player, a lot of passing. I don't streak down the boards too much. But some of the, like, if you have like that Barzell, right, you're a player that might favor speed, you know?
No, absolutely. I agree. And I think, yeah, I think on defensemen, I would 100% agree on that one. At least I think defensemen, if you lose the puck at the blue line, you definitely want that acceleration. Or even if you lose in the neutral zone, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you want to be able to get up to speed as fast as possible there. Let's go over some cards that we hope to see get some event upgrades that we might think are interesting, whether it's like, you know, later on, or give me some cards that you think might be interesting.
So one of the cards, well, you just mentioned how there weren't really too many abilities on some of these cards until we called them out. I had mentioned to one of the HUT devs, like, I haven't seen Total Eclipse on any cards yet besides.
Yeah, it wasn't in the game, I don't think.
It was it Ted Lindsay? There was like a Red Wing that had it. Oh, Stan Mikita, the Blackhawk. Okay. He's like 5'9", but he had it. And I just wanted to try it out. Like, if people don't know, because it's literally not really in the game, it just increases your player's ability to screen the goalie.
So a 5'9" player.
5'9" player. So there was a Tom Wilson that came out, 6'4".
Saw that, yeah.
He had gold Total Eclipse. I tried it out. I used it for a few games.
Problem is, he's a winger.
So yeah, so like
it needs to be on a centerman.
It does. So I'm thinking at some point down the line, if you see some of these cards that come out with like Total Eclipse, it's only 4 points for the gold ability, 2 points for the superstar. If you run like a third line with like everything with that, with Crash the Net, it might be effective. So we'll see more of these cards come out. But onto your question though, I wouldn't mind seeing like a Sundin maybe.
I was about to say Sundin.
Yeah, that's always one of my favorite ones.
I think so, like, the four I wrote just off the top, Sundin and Nieuwendyk. And again, I don't think that they're good to invest in. I don't think that's what we're saying, that like you should go out and buy these cards now because eventually they'll get an upgrade. Because it's still going to cost you about $200-$300K to get all the way up to whatever they come out as. Like, it's so expensive. Obviously, you want to go the collectible route, but Nieuwendyk, Sundin for sure are interesting because Nieuwendyk has quick draw and he's just a very good centerman. He's got a good build. Gartner and Solani are the other ones. And Cornwallé. I think that if like that, not a lot of people realize that Cornwallé is like 95 speed. Like, he's wild.
What was up? I have to ask. We had like a team of the week. I think it was last week. Mm-hmm. Howie Morenz had a team of the week card.
Just trying to upgrade an icon.
Was that? Okay, I wasn't sure because it was strange. And I was a little like, so I'm a Penguins fan. And Brian Rust had like a great week and he would have been on that like spot there. Not that I would have gotten the card, but I'm thinking like, he was like deserving of that spot. And then like we just get like a Howie Morenz.
Yeah, that was just for them to upgrade it. Yeah.
Okay.
They're messing around with it. But yeah, like that Cornwallé card might be interesting. But he's so weird because he has no agility. So like you're just going straight. Like, that's it.
Yeah. And also, what is he, 5'7"?
Yeah, he's not a good meta card, that's for sure.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about champs. We had, again, pretty disparaging results here. You went 20-0, my man.
Finally. It only took me a few months, right? Mm-hmm. I think last week it could have happened. We had a game where Bella was just literally in my room going crazy, and I couldn't concentrate for half the game. But yeah, it was nice, man. It's been great. I've had a lot of fun and I always hate referring to myself as this, as a content creator. But like, I can't say thank you enough to everybody that's just been stopping by and hanging out, yourself included, you know, stopping by for a little bit in your busy schedule sleeves. So yeah, 20-0 run. It was nice. It was fun.
Let me ask you this, man.
Yeah.
Because I did watch like the last like 4 or 5 games of that. Do you think that first, I'm wondering if it's because of the time that you do it. I did not notice a lot of known people.
Why are you doing that to me? Why are you doing that to me?
No, and I don't want to discredit you, but a lot of people, like, I was pretty stunned. I didn't recognize a name. And let me be clear here. As someone who's been in the community and you've played this game for like over 1,000 hours each year, you know pretty much anyone, not just guys that win tournaments or like that. You know, like the HUT heroes, the guys that have a shot at going, you know, 18-2. I don't really notice anyone. Now, do you think that a lot of that might have to do with the time that you're playing on the weekend.
Yeah, it probably has to do with that. I wish I could play at different times, right? Like that's
I don't think you're doing it on purpose. You're just married.
Yeah, no, definitely not, right? Exactly. So like I get up on Saturday and Sunday at like 8 a.m. and I stream for a couple hours and do that. Mm-hmm. No, I think during my 20 games, I might have had like three or four tough games where it's like, oh, I know that player from like Rivals or something, right? It's not like I'm playing like junior pens or anything throughout.
That's what I mean. It's just... I wonder if it's the four consoles too, because it's of the GWC. Four consoles
too. Well, it's weird because like I was thinking that about myself, and then I looked at like Young Gren. I was like, I wonder who he's playing, because he's somebody that's gone like undefeated like almost every week. He had one loss this week, and it was to somebody like I didn't even know. And I think it's just there's not a lot of avoiding that.
He gets reverse sniped too, and I think that you might
noticed. Oh, you mean like where people avoid it?
Yeah, I think so that's like a big when you're thing. Streaming, yeah. For anyone that doesn't know, like sniping is like, so I get the opposite of that because I'm not elite. So like I'll get good players that will watch me when I'm streaming, and then when I'm searching, they'll go and try to get me because it's an easier win. The opposite is for people that have won GWC, whereas Gren, and he plays on Texas, right? But that's not to take away the fact that he goes 20-0. I mean, that's not his fault, right? Like he streams at night when like the demons, everybody, the kids are, you know what I mean? Like, but no one will play, like no one would want to try and play him. Like very few people are like, yeah, let's go and try and get him. Right. So I think that definitely leads into it. But yeah, I think that if you're anyone that is trying to get your 11 wins and champs, if you want an easier time, the morning is probably it on Friday as well as Saturday and Sunday. Even kids just they stay up till 5 in the morning and then they're
do
not
you think
up
Polk's
two.
Is waking up at 8 a.m. to play?
No shot. No shot. These kids are doing.
Yeah, I can't help it. But I think if anything, it's hurt me as a player this year just because I'm
I
not
think
playing
so too.
That same
and the
competition.
Matchmaking problem. Like, I think that's is definitely going to be an impactful thing that, like, you know, for anyone that doesn't know, like the matchmaking problem where the first game that you search is open, where you can play, you're in Division One, you play Division Eight guys, which sucks for the people that are in Division Eight. Mm-hmm. But like, I definitely think it's made people worse as a player. Like if you're not taking scrims and whatnot, like trying to get those hard games, it's awfully tough, I think.
That's one of the things I need to start doing, you know, like, so like if anybody in here is a great player and you want to stream snipe me, please do it. I need all the good games I can get. I think I have to start reaching out to like Saphir, Pens, Charlie, Nip and Biscuits, just to start running some money games or something, because it's hurt my game overall this year. Yeah, I know I'll be fine come GWC because I'll be running those scrims. But like, yeah, it's definitely hurt my game.
No doubt. No doubt. Let's take some questions. So we didn't post on Reddit. Dude, I took some L's on Reddit this week.
Yeah, we have to talk about that because there's just so much
I feel like if
misinformation
I say,
on there.
Yeah, I feel like if I say something and I'm giving someone, if giving people tips, like, all right, so let's talk about what happened. So I released a video, like an advanced tip video that in NHL 21 was one of my most watched and most, you know, liked videos. And it was teaching people how to actually use the half spins in L2 or left trigger effectively, how to do it correctly by holding down X and spinning the opposite way so that you keep your back to your opponent. And thinking that, you know, I've been posting on Reddit in terms of like our podcast, and you know, I thought that, hey, this would be these are the people that are, you know, hardcore players, and maybe they're not as elite. Like, for anyone, again, I'm not trying to cheese the game, but this is how you break plateaus. Like, if you don't change the mechanics and what you're doing because of how Rivals works, you are going to stay the exact same. You can play, it's just like golf. I always equate this, like, you can go to the driving range and practice your shitty golf swing 1,000 times, and sure, your swing will get slightly better, but until you actually change the mechanics of your swing, it's really not going to be all that different. So you can play 1,000 NHL games and you'll understand, and you'll be able to pick up on things a little bit, but until you actually change the mechanics of what you're doing, you're really not. And the half spins is where you need to start, because I found that, like, I couldn't get into Division One this year when I was a high Division One last year, and I would average about 15, 16 wins in champs last year. And I literally just couldn't this year. I don't know what was going on. And then I played Aves, shout out to Aves, who literally just lived on spins in the zone, and I could not get him off the puck. And I was like, okay, maybe I need to focus on this. So I went to practice mode, went to the lab, practice, and now I'm in Division One. So I showed people how to do that, and I posted on Reddit and just got flamed about how, like, you know, this isn't real hockey, or just, you know, you're teaching people how to cheese and cheat and ballerina stuff. And like, guys, for anyone that says that, I need you to go and just watch some Cale Makar clips, because literally hits L2.
Like, he's the human L2 right there.
Yeah.
That goal he scored last week.
That Kirby Dach one, he literally slammed L2 and just blew Kirby Dach into oblivion, right? Like, I get that it's frustrating. And the reason why people hate it, I don't think is because I think this is a bigger problem with NHL or 1v1 games in general. This is going to be a bit of a rant here. You cannot enjoy something if you lose consistently. No one wants to, even if it's something that you don't really care about. Like, if you don't want to win GWC, that's fine. But you work 9 to 5 and you come home and you lose in NHL consistently, it's not fun. Like, no one can have fun at that. That's not, you know, just like individual problem. It's a human problem, like thing. Like, there's, you know what I mean? No one can have enjoyment of that. So people that are really good at using the half spins and L2s, if you can't defend that, that is why it's good, and you are not going to enjoy going up against someone who does that effectively. It's not. Like, you're just not going to until you learn how to defend it and do it yourself. And maybe it doesn't mimic the real thing in hockey, but, man, a lot of this, it's a video game. It's and also probably the hardest game to mimic the real sport, and they've done a pretty good job at it this year.
Yeah.
I think it's very sim-based this year, more than it's ever been. And I just got absolutely roasted on Reddit for posting that. And I'm like, all right, well, okay, you know, is what it is. And yeah, so I probably won't do that again. But for everyone that didn't want to admit it, that gave me feedback that they loved it and they didn't even know that that was in the game, you're welcome.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't really understand that logic on there. And again, if you don't want to play that way, that's fine. You can go play squad battles because they don't L2 in squad battles. Like, you
exactly.
know?
It's just a loser mentality.
It is.
And
it
it's
is.
Always and it's always the angriest people that are the loudest, right?
100%.
I've always said whenever you play a game online, you are assuming that you are not going to have the ideal experience because it's online. You're playing against another human. Anything can happen, right? Anything can happen. So if you run into somebody doing what you don't deem as the most simulation-based, it's your fault because you're playing a video game online. Squad Battles is there. Franchise mode is there, right? Not only that, Sleeves, the content we make, right, we show people certain things, but we also show people how to defend things. So yeah. It's not like we've ever put something out there where it's like, this is going to ruin the game. Because I think we've always showed, like, this is how you do something. Also, this is how you defend it. I do that on my channel, too. So it's like,
No one backs into the zone, you know, in the real thing. It's like, man, all you have to do is breathe on someone when they're using the half spins and they will fly off the play. And I'm not talking a bump, like, they will actually get knocked out of the play. So more than likely, if that's happening and someone's doing it to you, it's because you're just running straight at them. Mm-hmm. But if you just stop skating and don't move and don't trip, you know, it's very, you know, very easy to defend. And I think it's just a lack of self-awareness. Like, if you don't enjoy the game, if you won every game, you would love it. Like, you would be the best, you would feel great. Like, but that's just online video games, and especially in 1v1. Because the first thing that happens in 1v1 when you're playing, not just in NHL, in any game, first thing that people want to do, never want to accept blame. So yep. It's either the opponent's fault for cheating or L2ing or taking glitch goals and all of that. Not that you couldn't defend them. And then it's the game's fault. But it's like literally never your fault. And what I would love for people to do, if you complain about the game a lot, and again, don't comment on this because I don't care. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I really won't take it all that well, or I won't take it to heart. But go back and watch the goals you give up and don't watch the end result. Watch what led to that opportunity, because mm-hmm. that is usually the thing that you should be focusing on. So if someone scores a short side wrister on you, okay, go back and look at how that play started. Did you skate right into someone's defenseman and lose the puck that then let him come all the way back? Like, and 9 times out of 10, that's why. Now, obviously, there's one-offs. It's a video game that is not perfect. Mm-hmm. So you're going to see those clips. It's like, explain this one where it went through 4 guys. And it did. Ben said it on that podcast I did with him, that sometimes there is just bugs that is not intended, that are not easily. The thing that people need to remember is, like, how easily can you replicate them? And if you can't easily replicate them, they can't easily fix it. Right. And I apologize. I'm not saying that the game is perfect. It is not. And I'm not saying that I agree with, you know, everyone just spinning around in the zone. And, you know, like, I don't think that is the perfect way that simulate how you should be playing. But why are you if simulation in a real thing is why are you playing against real people?
Yeah,
is my question. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I would love the answer for really, really for in the video. And when I post this on Reddit, because we're going to take questions on Reddit next week again, I would love to know, for anyone that hates the meta and why it's played, why do you play online as opposed to playing, you know, the offline experience, you know?
Man, that's a great question. It's a great question.
I don't know, man. You know, because it just it is what, and what kind of sucks about like just NHL in general is that because there's nothing to work towards. Like, I got to Division One, and I was actually really engaged the last couple weeks because I was like, okay, now I finally figured out how to play and the things I needed to change in my game to get to Division One. Once I got there, it was like, oh no, man.
What now? Because there's nothing to achieve.
So the next thing is everyone's like, well, qualify for GWC, which I haven't done. I was close last year, but I didn't. This year, it does not look like it'll be an option at all because I'll be working the GWC again, and I legally will not be able to participate in it, even if I was able to.
Now you can say, hey, I would have won, but I
can't
play.
Exactly, yeah, an easy qualify. Yo, you guys are lucky. That's one less 128, you know? That's. But so now it's like you really see the lack of stuff to do in NHL. So for anyone that doesn't, you know, I miss just because I remember being a kid and just going to Versus leaderboards. And that's all I did. I didn't really like Hutt until like NHL 17 when I started making content on it. Mm-hmm. I remember just coming home from school and playing some Versus online against someone I have no idea. And it was just fun. Yeah. And I don't know. I'd love to get back there, but it's just the social media era we live in. It's tough. And I'm probably insulting a lot of people. And that's not my I'm probably not explaining my take on the game, but. It's, you know, I think that the mechanics of this game, there was like, I remember when the L2 and NHL 19 literally gave you a burst of speed. And that was a joke like that I was awful. But if you because that looks so dumb, like it just looks so stupid when you would just half spin down the boards, like it looks so dumb. But that's not in the game anymore. Like if you now it's just
everything's easy to defend. I literally whenever I stream and I'm like talking to chat and stuff, if there's somebody that goes behind my net and just sits there, I always not that I make fun of the person, but I just laugh because it's like this guy really thinks this is going to work. Everything's easily defendable in NHL 22 if you're patient and you play smart.
I agree.
And that's what that's spinning. Yeah.
And like I said, we've said this a number of times that like it's the most sim-based NHL we've had. Like it mimics the thing as close. I don't know what else it could do to get close to the real thing.
I don't want it to mimic it anymore, because I think it's in a good balance. Another thing
people don't realize.
Yeah, because it's like, why, if it's going to do that and every game's going to be just like a 50-50, like, oh, it depends on the balances, like, just save that for franchise mode. Save that for be a pro if that's still in the game. Like,
like my favorite take is people that complain that a bad goal goes in, right?
Yeah.
Right. In a perfect ones and zeros, like if a goaltender is doing that, that should be stopped. But in the real NHL, man, like there is goals that go in that are just like, poof, you know, bounces off of shin pads, off shoulder pads, and it goes in. But because it's a video game, people are expect that to not happen, but they want the thing to mimic the real life game. And you can't have goals that just go in. I am certain that there is a human error element in NHL that's programmed. And whether you want to call it ice tilt or whatever, I think that when you miss a wide open net when you shouldn't, I think is them programming human error into the game.
Yeah, I think Ben's touched on it. Yeah,
it's a very small thing, but like every once in a while, you will miss a shot where it's like, oh my goodness. And that's because
it might be like a 5% thing, like depending on what your attributes are, it increases or decreases, right? But it makes sense. Maybe it doesn't
that's
make sim-based. Sense if you're going
to That is what
like,
happens in the real
it is,
NHL.
It is sim-based. I think the overall issue, too, is... people just don't want to take responsibility for things in their life.
No,
they never do.
Maybe that's because we're old and we understand it, but
I guess so. But it's like, take some responsibility. Don't blame things like you said, don't blame the game, blame the person, you know, just what can I do better? And that's like, everything in life.
I this game is my career, right?
Yeah.
And I know what I would have to do to become someone like you. And that would be, instead of spending time on videos and covering content and making that stuff, I would literally have to spend my off time playing scrims and learning mechanics and spending time learning shots that have a very low percentage of going in, but I need to add them to my game because it's just another thing to look for. And I have no interest in doing that. And I've realized that, like, I have no interest in it. Would I love to be the best of the game? Sure, that'd be awesome for my career and just in general. But the time that these kids put in, like, when you lose to someone and it is bad and it's in Division One, you got to remember some of these kids are playing 8 hours a day. And they should be better. They just should be, right? Like, I only play the game, which is crazy, about 2 hours a day. There's so many people that play the game way more than me. Because even when I'm streaming for 3 hours a day, a good hour and a half of it is me just talking.
Yeah.
And I don't play it off stream.
I don't know about you. I always think that just the talking and stuff on stream is the most fun.
It's the reason why I became a streamer, man. Love chat. You know what I mean? Like, it's playing video games is one thing, but just hanging out with 100 buddies is my favorite part of it.
Been awesome, man. I've been really happy I, like, you know, started this because I agree with you. That's the most fun part of it. Talking about the most random things. But I know. Yeah.
So we're on a tangent there. Let's answer a couple of YouTube comments.
Yeah. So we have the YouTube comments this week. Let me move this over to the screen here.
We'll do like three or four.
Okay, that works. So Blackwater Origin says they should do this day in hockey history when they randomly upgrade an icon. That would at least give it significance and would let people speculate when the new cards come out. So I think they've done this in the past, right? Did they do this last year with the moments?
That I love the moments cards because so EA Hawk, for anyone that doesn't know, well, if this is posted on Reddit, you'll know, but EA Hawk is basically the HUD content developer this year, one of them, and he's in charge of coming up with new content. He came into my stream. He usually comes in around content time, so if you ever have a question for him, he's usually in my stream right before a content drop Monday to Friday. And he asked my chat, do you like the current state of prime times every day, or do you think there should be less cards that are better? And I'm a big proponent. I loved it when it was moments last year. I just wish they would stay in packs longer than a day because they're impossible to get.
Yeah.
That's the only issue. Like, I don't know why they removed them, and I'm sure it's a money thing, like a business thing. Like, if all the NHL moments or like prime times were just always in packs, like, then the high overall ones would be pulled a lot easier. More abundantly. So, but I think that there should be one every Monday to Friday. Why not? And then, or maybe a couple on Monday if they make up for the weekend, that would be really interesting.
Yeah. I mean, they can mix in active and retired players. There's so much they could do with it.
Probably more work. Like, but I mean, if you Google this day in hockey history, they have 60 icons, and I'm sure that they'd be able to find something.
And a ton of alumni. That's just the icons, right? So they have ton of alumni in the game.
I think it'd be really interesting.
Yeah, because a lot of those cards, like the alumni that are in the game, like I think somebody like Tyler Kennedy, I think has like a 78 overall card maybe. He's had some big moments in Penguins history. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't, not that I would use it on like a meta team or something, but like if there's like a 91 Kennedy that came out, you know, there's so many options you could do with the extensive alumni that they have in the game. And then if they run out, like, which I doubt they would run out because there's so many, they have active players and they could plan this out a year and ahead. We know the calendar, we know past history, right? They could plan this release out factored into whatever content plans they have for the year. So hopefully it's something we see.
I just hate going into a collection and seeing 45 prime times in team of the weeks. Like, I hate that. Like, I don't know. The only way to fix that would be like MLB, where it was the live series cards where they go up and down based on real life performance because there's no team of the week or prime times. And then you get like milestone cards or whatever. But yeah, they definitely need to clean it up, man. Like, it's tough because they have all the European leagues and they definitely want to. This is probably a PR thing or a business thing where they have to, like, you know, give some Europeans cards. And I don't disagree with that. Right. But the thing I will say is that I feel like sometimes they do a lot of European cards, and the complaint might be, well, like, dude, maybe I'm overthinking it, but like, it's the NHL video game, so there shouldn't be as many, you know? So I don't know, maybe like a European, I mean, they do Stars of the Month now, which I think was a cool addition. Like, I think, and a lot of those European cards are good. So like some of the best
values. I just don't see like whenever I think of that player base, like I know there are some people like Fasto is one of them that like probably cares about the cards, but like whenever I think of like the EU people I know at least to play the game, they're NHL fans.
They just want
the best players. They want the best cards. And I think we get too much of them. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's good that they do represent that, but maybe it's like a little bit too much.
I agree.
Yeah. Jonathan Watts has a question. Jonathan, I've been seeing you a lot, dude. Thank you for hanging around. Team of the year, Vasilevsky is a tire fire. I'm thinking of running him as a backup for his synergies, which are excellent. Should I go Paget, Vezmelka, or Price X Factor as post is the ticket? I'm free to play. Also, I assume there will be a team of the year sunset come team of the season time. Don't feel badly for me as I've ran in Hedman team of the year. Nobody wanted the rat. Jonathan, good timely question too, because I might be saying this player's name wrong, but that Vezmelka goalie card.
I think it's Vezmelka.
Vezmelka, right?
I think the J sound.
Okay, 85 overall goalie, catches right-handed, 6'4", has low 70s aggression. He's only about 13K, depending on what console you're on. He has gold post to post. I used him in Hot Champs this weekend. He maybe let in a couple weak goals, but he also made a couple big saves. I think it's pointless to invest more than 50K into a goalie.
I agree.
So if you're listening to this podcast and you want a good goalie, buy him, activate his gold post to post. There's no reason to put a ton of money into Vasilevsky, Price, Koskinen, and whoever else.
It's so funny, too. That's why when Team of the Year came out, or even the weird style icons, it is almost all placebo and how you play defense. So if you spend 500K on a goalie or 300K in value, you got to be prepared that like that goalie might not be that good because, you know, your defense and the goals that you give up, any goalie is going to let in.
Yeah. And with how we've been seeing the content too, so we've seen like these lower overall cards have like gold and silver abilities. Mm-hmm. We're just going at some point to see like a Markstrom, Bishop, Pekka Rinne or something with like gold post to post. It's one of like
I don't
the
know if
goalies.
They'll do that. I honestly don't.
We've seen 6'4". Do you think that's the cutoff?
I think that's the cutoff. Yeah. So like the new content guys have talked about this a little bit. They were avid hardcore hut guys that they hired. Not that they weren't like amazing players, but they were very knowledgeable about the meta and the game, which is why we get such balanced masters this week. Like even ranking the 8 masters, like all of them are great and they're very close.
We have seen I think they've done a good job on the goalies this year. The defensemen, all the elite ones having gold shutdown or at least
that
most of them.
I don't think will ever happen again. I bet you any money because it's funny. Cause once we started the community, once started talking about the Carey Price and the gold post to post, every single goalie that they release that is a higher I-80s goaltender that's shorter has gold post to post. So I bet you any money that we don't see gold shutdown on defensemen that are huge anymore. I have a feeling.
I hope so, because I think it's gotten a little bit too much. Metro as fellow clown from Reddit here. Yeah, I use Reddit all the time. That's my main like social
media.
I
love Reddit. I just got burned on it.
Yeah. So what is Henry's backstory? Did you adopt or buy him? How was raising him? So my wife wanted a pig because she watched the movie Uptown Girls with Brittany Murphy and Dakota Fanning when she was younger, and they have a cute little pig in there. Dakota Fanning, it's a name you haven't heard in a while, right?
Elle
Fanning's kind of, yeah, that's right, War of the Worlds. So we wanted a mini pig, and our friend knew a breeder about like an hour from us, kind of like in the country of Pennsylvania. We were like, hey, yeah, I'll do it. Anything that she says, I'm usually fully on board. So we went to this person's house in like the middle of the woods. Like we were driving down this dirt road and we couldn't find the street that this person lives on. And the street was called Buckeye Lane or Buckeye Drive. So we see this guy coming down the other side of the street, driving this like pickup truck. And we're like, hey, we're looking for this Buckeye Drive. And this guy, like, it's like he came out of Deliverance or something. He's like, Buckeye Drive? Ain't never heard of no Buckeye Drive. So we're like, okay, that doesn't help us at all. So then we see like this little like driveway and we're like, that has to be Buckeye Drive. So we get in there. This lady has like two little piglets. I pick up Henry. My wife picks up this other pig. This other pig's going nuts. Henry was just like relaxing in my arms. So we're like, okay, we're getting him. How was like raising him?
Wait a minute. But hang on a second. You said you went to go get a mini pig.
A mini pig, yeah.
What happened?
So if people don't know, I've talked about this a little bit. The mini pig thing is a complete lie. And it's kind of sad. People
like teacup pigs? I thought those were a thing.
Those are a lie. So it's sad. So people purposely underfeed pigs to keep them small. And it's sickening, which I would never do. We had this neighbor where we lived last time. I think she lived like a few blocks down. I was walking outside one day in the city. I see this lady holding this little pig. And I'm like, oh, what's the pig's name? Whatever. The pig ended up being like 6 months old, but it was tiny. And I was like, well, what do you feed the pig? And she's like, oh, I give him some lettuce for like dinner and like a little bit of food. And then we found out like a couple years later, like the pig passed away because she was just like underfeeding the pig. So Henry does not have that issue.
Clearly.
Clearly, right? He's a big boy. He's actually oinking behind the door right now. Raising him was fun. His first 6 months were awful because he was literally like a puppy. But like his oink and his like crying is like ear piercing. It's just like the worst noise. So he's calmed down so much. And then
did he eat a lot of furniture?
No, he didn't.
Because I heard that's like a thing. They'll eat anything wood. Like they'll just.
So he didn't eat any furniture. He would go after like random things. The one day he was actually like, we had him on like our second floor and he was just like learning how to like walk like downstairs. Like he didn't really like know like, oh,
can he walk downstairs now?
He can't. We don't do stairs anymore. He was on the second floor. We hear him crying and then he wants to like walk down the stairs, but he just like doesn't understand it. He rolls down and then he literally falls into the wall and puts a hole in the wall. It was like the funniest thing ever. He got right back up. He's resilient. But yeah, we were living in the city. So we sold our house last year. We moved out. We're like 30 minutes out of Pittsburgh now. We have like a really nice fenced in backyard for him. Our floor that we live on is like level with the sunroom that he can go right outside. It's like a retirement home for him almost. So he's
what's
very low maintenance.
What's the life expectancy?
On a 10 to 20, supposedly.
Good Lord.
It's like a minor drug offense in the 80s, you know, 10 to 20 years. So we'll see. He doesn't do anything, man. He just relaxes all the time.
I can't wait, dudes. The days where, like, with summer now, like, we only have to put her in the crate, like we'll go 3 hours at a time now. Like, she won't, we'll just leave her out, and it's slowly getting a little bit better. Mm-hmm. I can't wait until she just chills, though, because she's still
the best.
And she just bites everything. Like, even when we wrestle, like, I'll wrestle with her now, and she bites me hard, but, like, I know, I'm like, okay, you should, but, like, she still doesn't understand what she's capable of.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got a little bit more to go. She's about 65 pounds now, and she's just over 7 months.
Nice.
Yeah, so, I mean, the playing in the snow, if you haven't seen it on Twitter, go watch her playing in the snow. She's like, again, we got about 2 feet, and she's like up to her neck, like just hopping around. It was fun this morning.
Dogs love the snow, man.
She's never seen it like this, so yeah. It was good. But, all right, man, I think that's going to do it for this week's episode of Coffee and Chill. Thank you guys again, as always, for listening and watching and all the downloads. We do appreciate it. We'll post on Reddit to get your questions for next week. Anything else you want to add, dude?
No, man, take some responsibility in your life, guys. That's it. That's my message. That's my advice.
I can't wait to see how this goes, bro.
Yeah.
We're going to get some mean comments, I think.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. We're old. We don't care. That's why you listen.
Yeah. All right, guys. Yeah. All right. Yeah. That's it. Right. That's it. I was going to say something, but I'm good.
No, dude, let's go. Our endings are awful.
Yeah. Our endings are terrible. This is a terrible show. You had told me whenever I posted that glitch goal video on YouTube, you're like, you know, you got to watch those sometimes. I posted another one last week, like the backhand wrap. Because my thing is, if you don't like it, don't watch. Shut up. Give me the negative comments. I want them. But I help out people more than I do anything. So take some responsibility in your life, guys.
Yes, sir. All right, guys. We'll see you next week. Have a good one.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.